It is indeed a pleasure to be here today and to have you here as well. We were hoping that there might be more here, but some folks, for whatever reason, as they're traveling out of town and for other reasons, have not been able to make it. I invite you this morning to turn to Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25, as this will serve as our text. And we're going to talk about the inconvenience of Christianity. In Acts chapter 24, as we begin reading in verse 24, we find that Christianity indeed already exists. It existed, and Paul was gathered there with the governor and others, and he was pleading his case. He was so arrested and incarcerated for the cause of Christ. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 24 beginning, we see, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla," which was a Jewess, "he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Now we see what has happened here. The Apostle Paul used every opportunity that he had to preach the Word of God. And regardless of if it was to the common folk or to the ruling class, when the opportunity presented itself, he took advantage of it. We can see that as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, that it had a profound effect upon Felix. We see here that Felix trembled. And because he trembled, as he heard the things that were being taught of Paul, he said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee." This tells us that the idea that Felix had of Christianity, it's not time for me to be a Christian yet, is the idea that he had. He said, "When I have more convenient season, I will call for thee." It wasn't convenient for him, or it wasn't according to his schedule. There are many today who approach Christianity in the same way. It is when it's convenient, when it's at their leisure, if there's nothing else to do. Many times people today will put other things first, and they'll realize, you know, as a Christian, I should be in services, but they don't. Why? Because Christianity is not very convenient. Some folks decide that they will be a Christian only after personal interests are met. This idea is still very much alive today. Folks deciding that other things are more important than Christianity. It's because we are part of the convenience generation. I remember years back listening to my grandparents and some of their siblings talk about how good we had it then. You can hear folks today look at children and say, "Look how good they have it now." I am so amused when I see on TV a commercial and these 10 or 11 year old children are talking about how the 5 and 6 year old children have it so convenient today. It's because we are part of the convenience generation. This morning I submit to you that obeying and serving God is not a matter of convenience for anyone. It is something that we need to take great heed to. I want to point out a few things this morning that were not convenient, but that did happen. Do you think it was convenient for Jesus to come to the earth? I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. We know that when Jesus came to earth, he did so for the express purpose of serving God. But was it always convenient? We know that it wasn't easy to do. We see here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Here we have Jesus Christ, who was with God in the beginning, who was there involved in all of the creation, and everything that was made by him. He existed before this earth did. He existed before time, and he will exist when time is no more. But notice, according to this passage, that he humbled himself, he lowered himself, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which, as I understand, was one of the most terrible ways to die. Not only did it carry with it the idea of suffocation, as your hands are either tied or nailed to the beam, and then your feet are either tied or nailed with nothing for which to push yourself up. Your lungs are compressed to the point that you cannot gain any air, any oxygen. And we all know that the body requires oxygen in order to continue to function. And eventually you just can no longer force yourself up to breathe, and you die a slow, agonizing death. But in addition to this, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which was one that is associated with shame, great shame. Here we have the creator of the universe on the cross that man devised, dying this shameful death. Was that convenient? Christ, for our sake, suffered the inconvenience of leaving heaven. Again, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 12, which includes the passage that we just read, we see the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippian brethren there, is directed by the Holy Spirit, and he says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Here's the example. "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Do you think it was convenient for Christ to leave heaven? He did so because he loves us. He did so because he loves his Father. He did so because he knew his Father's will. And the only way that his Father's will would be carried out is if he were to come, leave heaven, leave his Father, leave all the glories that are there, come to this earth and die for us. While he was here, he experienced the inconvenience of this earthly life. When I say that from the standpoint that he came in a time in which life itself was inconvenient. In Luke chapter 9, verse 58, he said words which tell us of his condition. "And Jesus said unto them, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He did not have the conveniences, even such as they were in his day, of life. He did not seek a place to live. He did not seek to gain the world's wealth. He did not seek to make himself a name while here on the earth. But he came and live with the inconvenience of this earthly life for our sake. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, we'll see what happened to Christ. We'll see why he suffered the inconvenience of earthly life. "For ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." He came and he lived in abject poverty, not even a place to lay his head. Oh, he wasn't homeless. He had a home. It was in heaven, and he knew it was. And he came and he did the will of his Father. He came and became poor so that you and I might be rich. What about the inconvenience of his earthly message? As you turn to Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, I want to preface the reading of this by saying that this was spoken to his disciples. To his disciples in that day when those things which were needful for them would be provided, because they would be serving God, they would be doing his will, they would be carrying out those things which Jesus had told them to. But he said to them, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Those are things which this earthly life requires. But he was telling them, though it be inconvenient, you will have these things. Do what I ask you to do. As we approach the end of the life of Christ, we ask the question, do we not think that his trial and crucifixion brought inconvenience to him? He had spent 3 years schooling his disciples, showing them the things of the Father, such as they could grasp, such as they could hold. We know that that instruction must continue on. But he came and he suffered through the trial and crucifixion willingly for us. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 51 through 54, we will see that he saw to it that things were carried out as the Father would have them carried out. We see that man would have interjected their thoughts or done something to control the situation, as man often tries to do. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 51 through 54, we see the time of the betrayal of Christ. "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then Jesus said unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray, now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be?" You see, it had been prophesied that Jesus Christ was going to come to earth. It was prophesied that Jesus Christ, in coming to earth, would do so in a lowly estate. It was prophesied that when he came to earth, that he would be denied, that he would be rejected, that he would be scorned. And he came to fulfill the scriptures, regardless of how inconvenient it was. He did this according to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, so that he might be obedient to his Father. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 again. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Then we see that Christ died upon the cross. He gave his disciples instructions that they were to go to wait in Jerusalem after his resurrection until they received power from on high. They did that, and they received that power. And we see what happened then. As they received that power, they preached that message that was given to them that day, that hour. And people responded. But we need to understand that Christianity was not convenient for the early disciples. In Luke chapter 9, verse 59 through 62, before there was Christianity, Jesus was still on the earth. He was still instructing his disciples. And he taught and showed us that it was not based upon convenience that we follow him. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What was Jesus telling them? That our following of him is not for convenience. We see how that he approached many of those who would become his apostles. And he walked up to them and said simply, follow me. We do not read an account where Matthew said, Lord, wait a minute, I've got all this money here. And I need to go and turn it in to the proper authorities. He got up, he left all, he followed him. James and John left their father and their business, as did Peter and Andrew. It wasn't left up to convenience. We see this in Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. Again, as Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples. Peter responds and says, lo, we have left all and we have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you that no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. We look at that, and if we read that, and if we're focusing on the things that he said relative to the physical things of this world, we say, well, the Lord said we would receive an hundredfold houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Where are all these things? It has been inconvenient for me at times to serve the Lord, but I have not benefited from it physically. The focus is that we will receive these things with persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. There was a spirit of sacrifice and duty in the early church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 45, we see that after that first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, AD 33, that their people had obeyed the gospel. But as they obeyed the gospel, they saw how their brethren were struggling. And so, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 45, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Today, that's not the idea. Today, the idea is to get all I can all I get, and sit on the can. And hope it doubles, triples, so that I can have all I need for retirement. In Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, we'll see this. Also, about sacrifice and duty. When Peter and John had been preaching and teaching, and they were arrested, they were beaten, they were put in jail. And then they called them, they commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19 gives us the inspired words, which were spoken by Peter and John. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. It was not a matter of convenience. Finally, we need to understand and realize that Christianity is not convenient for the faithful today. We must obey the gospel, not only if it's convenient. Again, we go back to our text, Acts chapter 24, verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. What had he heard? He'd heard the word of God. What did he realize? He was lost. That's what he realized. But you know what? I'm lost, but it's not convenient right now for me to be a child of God. Go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee. The convicted are not concerned about a convenient place to worship. They'll find a place. We've had people even to come here, they've said that there were times when they had to meet under a tree. They didn't have air conditioning. If a thunderstorm broke out, they got wet. But what were they doing? They were worshiping. They gathered themselves together to worship, to partake of the supper, to be in fellowship one with another. They didn't say, well, you know what, we don't have a building and it's not convenient. The convicted are not concerned about convenient time. In Acts chapter 16, verse 33, I remind you of the Philippian jailer who could have said, fellas, we'll take care of this in the morning. But he had heard the word of God. He'd seen the great miracle. And he realized that he was lost. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. He and all his straightway. We must not simply attend services only if it's convenient. I'm told that there was a well-known preacher in the church that taught his sons that if there was a ball game or something of that nature, it was okay to miss services so long as you made it up, say, like in a gospel meeting or something like that. I suspect that there is not a specific number of services that we are required to attend, unless all is a number. In Acts chapter 20, verses 6 and 7, we see that Paul waited 7 days. Many times people today, as you turn there, will strike out headed for vacation to go somewhere and say, well, we'll find us a place to worship. And in years past, you could probably do that. But nowadays, you've got to be very careful. You've got to do a little research. And we have the means by which we can research. We can find a place to go. And if there's not a faithful member of the Lord's church in such and such a place, we ought not to go there. But in Acts chapter 20 and verse 6 beginning, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days. Whereas we abode 7 days. Look at verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow and continue his speech until midnight. We have an example here. We have an example that he waited. He stopped his journey so that he could be there with them. We also see that he continued his speech until midnight. No, I'm not going to do that. But that's not the example that was being set. The example that was being set, that it was convenient for him to move on, to go on, to continue his journey. He had other people to see. He had other places to go where he was needed. But it's not convenience that caused him to stay. What caused him to stay was that he knew that he should be in the services of the Lord upon the first day of the week. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 16, it says, for as Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. If it worked out that way, okay. If not, I can guarantee you where the Apostle Paul would be. He would be gathered with the saints upon the first day of the week. Through the years, Christians have assembled at inconvenient places. I know of people who meet in places where it's not convenient for them. They can't even put a sign outside their building. On the Lord's Day, they'll let them put a sandwich board, if you will, out on the street. But when services are over, they got to fold it up and carry it inside. But they're there every week, and they meet. Some only meet if there's nothing else to do or nowhere else to be. I couldn't help but think this morning, as we were on our way to services, and saw two little children out walking a dog. I even made the comment, they can get them up so that they can fulfill their duties, their chores, if you will, and walk the dog, but not one thought is given to having those little children in Sunday school. Why? Because it's not convenient for mom and dad to get up and get dressed and to go to services. Some only want to come if they can come as they are. well, you know, it's not convenient for me. I don't have the right clothes. James tells us about that situation, about being respecters of persons, and we're not respecters of persons. Yes, we should give our best to the master. But if our best is a bib overalls, that's okay, as long as they're clean and as long as our bodies are covered. What about our other duties of life? What if we took care of them only if they were convenient to us? What about taking care of our own family members? In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and telling him, it's not a matter of convenience to take care of our families. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. What about if it's not convenient to feed our children? What if it's not convenient to provide a roof over our head? As we rear children, it is not a matter of convenience. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 tells us this. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Why? It's because those children need that direction. It is not convenient sometimes to attend to the needs of others. But James chapter 1 and verse 27 tells us what pure religion is. Even if it's inconvenient, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Not only if it's convenient. Matthew chapter 25 verses 34 and following. We will see the actions of some who didn't worry about whether or not it was convenient, and the actions of others who worried about doing what was right because it was not convenient. And we'll also see the result, what it cost them. Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came to thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter, but we know what happens to those who did not, or they found it inconvenient to take care of their brethren. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What if our parents had only done that which was convenient for us? You know, years ago, I heard a saying, which is very true. Any man can be a dad, but it takes a special man to be a father. Why? Because the father, even if it's inconvenient, even if he has to work two jobs, even if he has to give of himself, he will provide for his family. He will take care of his family. He will nurture those which he helped bring into the world. Why? Because it's his God-given duty and responsibility. He doesn't care that it's inconvenient. What if our teachers and preachers had only done that which was convenient for us? Convenient things to us. In other words, they had preached things which would never hurt our feelings. They would teach things that very careful how they address things, so as not to ever ruffle any feathers. That exists today. There are people that will not preach the truth because it's inconvenient to do so. Because if they preach the truth in the place in which they preach today, they'll be hunting a job tomorrow. What if Jesus had only done that which was convenient? We must get out of this service only at our convenience mindset. And we need to understand that we need to encourage our brethren also. We all need to be working together. Christianity is inconvenient. Recently, I received an email from someone who is a child of God. And that person commented, "Being a Christian is hard. At times, we need to realize and understand that being a Christian is inconvenient. But not if we have the right attitude. Not if we love God and are striving to serve Him. It is not inconvenient." This morning, there may be someone here who has found it inconvenient to obey the gospel. For whatever reason. There may be those here who have found it inconvenient to remain faithful unto the word of God. But the Bible tells us that God is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. He has given us time, and we have been granted this day so that we might offer unto you the opportunity to obey the gospel or to come in repentance and commit yourself to a continued application of the word of God. What does the Bible say relative to the salvation of a soul? To those who have never been baptized into Christ, it tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that we are to hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are to believe according to John 8:24. "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Luke 13:3-5 tells us, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus himself said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." We might say, "I have believed because I heard, and because of that, I'm ready to repent." And I'll even tell people before other people that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But friends, none of that matters if we don't do all the plan of God. Mark 16:16, Jesus himself said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But he also said, "He that believeth not shall be damned." Having done these things, a person becomes a child of God and then is required to live faithful unto death. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, the latter part of it says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." What is not said there is what we need to heed. What is not said there is the converse or the opposite of that. If you're not faithful unto death, you will not get a crown of life. But God has not left you out. If you've heard, believed, repented, confessed, been baptized, and then therefore become a child of God, but have not remained faithful unto death, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, we find the plan whereby one can reestablish that relationship and begin anew to be a faithful child of God. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Let me ask you today, is it convenient, or does it matter that it's convenient or not? You have a soul. Your soul will spend someplace in eternity. Don't let inconvenience get in the way. If you need to respond, won't you do so as together we stand and sing the invitation song.